What's going on, guys? It's David here, the world's best radio engineer and the most humble, and I'm just here to let you know that today's episode of Cleary Today Show and today's secret word is brought to you by Le Bleu Ultra Pure Water. Unlike other bottled waters, Le Bleu's Ultra Pure filtration system provides water that's free from contaminants and infused with only the essentials your body needs. Make the smart choice today and experience the difference of Le Bleu Ultra Pure Water. You can order online at Le Bleu, that's LEBLEU.com. And when you check out, use the promo code today, that's TODAY, to get 10% off your next order. It'll save you money and it supports us here at the Clearview Today Show.
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You can find us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. We want you guys to help us keep the conversation moving forward. You can do that by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and family. Leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. Link in the description right down there below. Dr. Shah, welcome, welcome, welcome to the show.
Oh,
welcome.
Vigorously.
Yeah, vigorously. If you're joining us for the first time, we're here with our host, Dr. Abadan Shah, who's a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and of course, the host of today's show. I also noticed you-
The host with the most.
Host with the most.
From coast to coast.
There you go. I like
I
that.
I don't mean to boast.
You want some toast? Hey,
I prefer some roast.
I like the shaven beard.
Yeah.
It looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you going to keep it off?
No.
You got to grow it back?
I should start from zero. Because, I mean, yeah, I had the chops, so you can't take the chops all the way down. So I just took everything off and then we'll
Dr. Shah, he's not in the refined gentleman's club like you and myself.
No.
Yeah.
No.
He's
wild man.
One of
wild
the
barbarian. Wild barbarian.
One of the street people.
Living
is that
in
what
the,
it is?
Living yeah. in the outskirts of
I'm
society.
I'm always flummoxed when I see that you don't don't do it.
What did he say?
Flummoxed.
Was that it for real?
It was
okay.
It.
Yeah. Flummoxed.
Flummoxed. Flummoxed. Like you can, like I'm confused. Like I'm flummoxed. I'm baffled.
I'm confused, baffled.
Not, yeah. Never heard.
That was one I knew.
I wasn't quite sure because
it was,
you know,
so, it was so
it's
up top.
Outlandish, but it's not totally off the horizon.
Right,
so.
Right. Well, anyway, I like the clean shaven look. Yeah. Dr. Shah, I've been in that club for a while. Mm-hmm. I wish you'd stick around, but
I don't like it.
Dr. Shah,
prefer a beard.
I do have one question for you.
Okay.
Would you take $1 million, my friend?
Yes.
Here comes the money. All right. So
simple answer. Yes.
Dr. Shah, I'm going to give you $1 million.
Yes.
You can take as long as you need to, but at some point you have to put 100 different items down the toilets here at Cleary Church and like flush them. Like they're going to clog. They're going to break. As long as you don't get caught, you'll get $1 million. Now, if you get caught, if people find out that you're doing this, that you're the one like putting.
How long do I have to do this?
It doesn't matter how long you take. You can take as long as you want.
I just have to clog the.
You have to just put 100 different items down the toilet. So
different, not the same item.
They don't. I mean, they just have to fit. They just have to be able to flush down. I would say like if you do a cough drop, you can do that. But then you can't do a cough drop again.
Oh, okay.
Like you have to put 100 different items and flush them down the toilet. If it breaks, nobody has to know that it was you doing it. But if you get caught, you don't get the money. And everybody just knows you did this really weird, sneaky thing.
That creep.
This is brought to you, by the way, while you're thinking of your answer, this is brought to you by my son, Holden, who put toys down the toilet and we had to call a plumber this morning and have him go take the toilet out of the house into the yard and dig the toys out.
Oh.
Yeah. In fact,
was
I'll
he
show
in
you
trouble?
A picture. Oh, he was in big trouble. Yeah. Yeah. He was in big trouble. We had a feeling that had happened, but then he, The plumber came back in and showed Ellie. He said, "Hey, here's what I found in the toilet." Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna show it to you here in a second. But $1 million, would you do that?
Oh my goodness, $1 million. Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah,
you do it.
I'll do it.
You can take as long as you want.
He put that in the toilet?
Yeah, he flushed those down the toilet. And the
this
toilet.
Is Holden or Gavin?
Holden.
Holden.
Oh, I
No, no.
I was like, Gavin, down. Like, did he get in trouble?
No, Gavin knows better than that. Gavin will watch his brother do stuff and keep silent because he thinks it's fun. Yeah. I don't think it's funny. I'm sure that Gavin was there when Holden was doing
Imagine
it.
Imagine Holden's perspective. Like, he's just set out in his mind, this is the mission that needs to happen. And he's utterly bumfuzzled that he's in trouble.
No, man. You ain't going for that. Did you have the secret word, too?
I did.
You had the secret. Why did two people have the secret word?
So once you instantly got flummoxed wrong, I was like, let me see if I can get Ryan to get another confused word in there.
Bumfuzzled. It means confused or perplexed.
I knew about bumfuzzled, yeah. But I was like, you're not ever going to say that.
You knew bumfuzzled, but didn't know flummoxed? I knew flummoxed, but had never heard bumfuzzled. Yep. That's crazy. That is crazy to me. So Ryan, $1 million and Dr. Shaw, $1 million, but you have to just, and no one ever has to know it's you. In fact, it's better that they don't know it's you.
Right.
But if you get caught, you get no money.
I don't think I would take it.
And everyone
it.
Just thinks you're weird.
I think my conscience just, I would just like toss and turn it, and I don't think I could do
so
it.
So imagine, like, okay, imagine we have to, like, the toilet gets broken. A plumber has to come fix it. And they're like, oh, hey, it's a wad of sticky notes. And then Dr. Shell's like, all right, who flushed the sticky notes down the toilet? And you're just going to keep silent? And you'd be like,
I mean, lying is 100% involved in this equation. Yeah, I mean, that's, without lying, you cannot do any of this.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I couldn't.
You don't think you could do it?
I would instantly break.
You would be bumfuzzled.
I would be bumfuzzled.
Like a befuddled.
I would instantly break.
Because then I feel like if someone were to actually come in, I was going to try to save it. Because if you kept silent, we would just have to pull up the cameras. We just have to pull up.
I mean, there's no way you're going to escape past that. There's no way. I would break. I'd be like, yep, it was me.
I think I would. Yeah, I think I would try.
I don't know why I did it.
And then you would be like, befuddled. What was it? Bumfuddled?
Bumfuzzled.
Bumfuzzled. Bumfuzzled.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was like befuddled.
All right, you said that twice now.
What? What do you mean? All three of us had a secret word.
The first time I was like, no, surely not. But then he says again, I was like, wait a minute.
What did he
say?
Wait a minute.
Befuddled.
So I had flummoxed.
We all had very similar words, too.
It was all confused.
Did you just look up synonyms for confused?
Yeah. And once you got it wrong, I was like, maybe Ryan can get it. And then once he got it wrong, I was like, maybe Dr. Shaw can get it.
I did it 3 times.
You did.
I ran that through 3 times.
You should get it. You should hit the grump birthday
party. Yeah, I only caught it on the second, like, or the third time.
The first time I did it, and then that TV came on automatically.
I thought you were saying
a convenient distraction.
Okay, that was pretty clever because I thought you were saying befuddled, trying to make us think that you were getting his word wrong.
Right?
Is that what you were doing?
Yeah.
That was pretty clever. I'll give you that.
I think that counts. I think that counts.
All right. So
million. We're all. Never mind.
Yeah. Let's just get to that. Let's get into that.
That's the only way you can do these words anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
We may have to like rethink.
We need to rethink
our association, yeah, like Tombstone.
Here's what I think. Nobody's better at coming up with games than Ryan. Maybe you should take the secret word and get a structure
get
in
some
place.
Structure in place. Yeah, okay.
David is great. I'm not talking about David. It was just that we're not able to.
Oh, I see.
Really
what you're
pass it through. David's doing fine.
Yeah. He's like the word assignment is fine. The how we get this word into the conversation.
Like, it was like we're so aware of each other's lingo.
True.
Moment up. Befuddled comes in and like, wait a minute.
Okay, that I'll say the whole giving all of us one, that was pretty slick. I didn't expect that at all. That was pretty cool.
I saw my phone go off. I was like, wait a minute. Okay.
Was it for different days or did you just all want us to have one today?
He just sent me one.
I just wanted everybody to have one.
Okay.
All funny. The confused language.
All right.
That's funny.
We need to go into an ad.
What did the verse of the day?
Oh yeah, do the verse of the day. I'm sorry. I don't want to cut off
on God's word, man.
Especially not for an ad read. You're right.
The verse of the day is coming to us from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, after it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it.
That's where they get the phrase, man. No pain, no gain.
Mm.
But no, for real, like you always, when you're disciplined by, whether it's by someone in your life or by God himself, you know, of course it doesn't feel good. It's not there to feel good. And I think that's something that I've learned the more that I've grown up and the more I've matured is that the things that feel good typically are not very good for me.
That's true.
The food I eat or the things I watch or the things I put in my mind or my body, they're not those things that feel good aren't good for me. It's usually the things that hurt that end up being for my benefit.
Right. That's right. God knows exactly what we need when we need it. And even things that we may not enjoy in the moment. Mm-hmm. I look back at my life, the many situations that I went through that in the moment I was like, this is the worst thing that can happen to me, or this is not
helping me? How is that just going to be good? But now looking back, it's those very things that have made me into a better person,
right,
or a more person of focus and vision and determination, and especially a Christ-like person.
That's right.
Those trials.
That's right.
Help tremendously.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, so important for us, you know, knowing that when we are encountering those difficult things in life and those things that kind of are sanding off the rough edges of our sin nature, that's going to be painful, but it ultimately serves to make us more like Christ.
And even the people that God puts in your life, you know what I mean? Like those people are there and you don't even know, they may not even be authority figures in your life, you know, but at the same time, God has put them there to refine you. And yep, sometimes that discipline comes in the form, it doesn't come in like a finger wagging way. It just comes in the form of those tough conversations,
right,
but those honest conversations that you need to hear and are so needed for growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Especially growing up in Christ.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So good for us. We're going to go into a short ad break, but don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more Clearview Today. Hey, Clearview Today listeners.
If we can find a timeline of the Syrian thing, so maybe we can bring people up to speed on the timeline.
We invite you to partner with us through your financial support.
That's right. Your giving helps us keep the message of the gospel reaching more hearts and minds every day. And when you give for the gospel, that's not an act of generosity. That's an act of worship.
It's terrible.
It's a way to honor God and invest in his kingdom, knowing that every single dollar you give helps us share the hope of Jesus with a world in desperate need of him.
If God is pressing on your heart right now to give to the Clearview Today Show, you can visit our website, clearviewtodayshow.com, and press that little button that says Give Today.
Is your iPad open, Dr. Sean? Is it available for...
God continue to bless you as you partner with us
and make
our show as impactful as possible for the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That's right. We appreciate every single one of you. Now let's get back to the show.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right, Dr. Shah. We are seeing a lot of good news in the world today. You know, last week we put, if you guys were listening to the show live, you know that we put out an episode kind of chronicling the Middle East conflict,
yeah,
especially between Israel and Hamas, Hezbollah. It's hard to keep up with everything that's going on. I think it's both. I think that's what you said, Dr. Shah. Like they're fighting on two different fronts, but a bit of good news in the Middle East conflict today.
Yeah, we've been since 2012.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard about Assad's regime, mm-hmm, in Syria, mm-hmm, and how oppressive it was towards their own people, also towards Christians, and then especially towards Israel. Mm-hmm. It was like a proxy for Iran, right on their northern or northeastern border. And so now finally that regime has fallen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was a time back in the day when we thought this was going to happen. And as you know, the Syrian revolution that took place years ago,
mm-hmm,
and it didn't quite materialize.
Right.
You had Iran, you had Russia propping up Syria, giving them all that they needed. And it really, all that resulted was a mass exodus of people.
Mm-hmm.
At one time, I think there were like 1.5 million some Christians in Syria, only 300,000 left.
Mm.
So a lot of Christians left too. But now finally that regime has fallen.
Right.
Yes, in some ways it's a good thing. It's a great thing, I would say, especially with regards to Hezbollah,
mm-hmm,
this terrorist organization right on Israel's border, constantly harassing them, firing missiles at them, drones, I mean, all that kind of stuff. Can you imagine living in that kind of a war zone?
Right.
So in that sense, good things have come. But now, who's going to be in charge?
Mm-hmm. That's okay? The question.
What happens next? Because you have sort of these unaffiliated jihadist rebels who are in power.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they continue to be in power, then we need to really step in. And I'm so glad that President Trump is at the helms of our country.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad Netanyahu is on the helms of his country. And hopefully, if the wrong elements get in power, this vacuum, if the wrong elements get in,
mm-hmm,
at least we have some sensible, strong, courageous, wise, right, people who will step in and put an end to it.
Right.
previously that was not the case.
No, it was not.
I would be very concerned right now.
Yeah.
So at least that sense of assurance is there that in case this train goes off the rails, which may look like it is, at least we have some safety nets.
Yeah.
Assad, you know, he was okay with minorities. It's a Alawite regime, which is like a branch of the Shiites. You have Sunnis and Shias. Mm-hmm. Okay. These are the two branches of Islam. It's all based on the succession of who followed Muhammad kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the Sunnis are the majority. Sunnis are more on the conservative side of things. So that's where you find Saudi Arabia, you find Jordan, you find Egypt. All these are major Sunni strongholds.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have Iran, you have Syria. They were more on the Shiite side of things. And then if you go towards Iraq and Iran, Iraq was ruled by Sunnis,
right,
but it has a lot of Shiites as well, right on the border of Iran.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a tough situation, political gridlock.
Yeah, makes sense.
But hopefully now at least that Shiite radicalism of we want to blow Israel out of the map or something like that, or constantly propping up terrorist organizations, at least that part will come to a close. But that by no means means implies that conflicts are over.
How soon do you think that window closes? So like a regime falls, I don't want to say insurgents, but like rebels, like the freedom fighters, they take over.
Yeah.
They start implementing.
Which they already have.
Right. Yeah. They start implementing methods of, all right, now we've won. Now it's time to start controlling this government, this people. What do you think that window of opportunity is to where we'll know whether or not this is going to be a good or a bad thing?
Oh, right away.
Okay.
Right away. I mean, some of the images we already saw by some of these jihadist rebel fighters is on to Jerusalem.
Mm.
It's like, really? You just got your country your back from a dictator. And the first thing you think about is
declaring war on Israel.
Yeah, like, come on. What's wrong with you? Wow. Why? Wow. Why don't you just work on building your people? Why don't you work on creating trade and negotiations and education and opportunities and, you know, improving the standard of living?
Right. Like, is this a revolution or is this conquest that you're now wanting to take over more?
Right.
Well, that's my question. Is it we want to gain ground and expand our own nation, or is this we hate this other nation?
Right. Probably the latter. Mm. And that's where you have to go, okay, lesser of two evils. We have the lesser of two evils now. So Bashar al-Assad gone, really evil. But does not mean that all of a sudden we have the good guys in there.
Right.
Was he killed or is he?
No,
is he
escaped
just
to Russia.
Oh, he escaped?
Yeah, Russia gave them asylum. So he and his family, I'm assuming, they all escaped.
Mm. Interesting.
And went to Russia.
Interesting. So what do you see on the horizon now? What do you see happening in the next few
in
months?
In my experience and my studies, I would say there will be turmoil. There will be turmoil.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's the louder, the more violent, the not thinking types usually are the ones who, who spearhead things like this.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's what's going on in Syria, I mean, entire government has fallen, which means the really radical, violent crazies have spearheaded this.
Gotcha.
Can they last? Well, I hope Israel and others will make sure that those don't last because they don't help their people.
Right. Mm. Right.
So I would say that is my concern right now.
Okay.
Is usually the radicals are the ones who spearhead, but hopefully soon we can now shift gears.
Yeah.
And say, okay, among these people, are there reasonable or reasoning, educated, caring people who will help their people, not just, you know, push some religious agenda or personal agenda, because that will happen. You will have people shuffling in and shuffling out. That's part of putting a democratic system or a good, healthy system of government into power. Mm-hmm. You will have people shuffling in and shuffling. That's going to go on. I would say, again, I'm not a Middle East expert or anything, but I've studied current events and politics for a long time and history as well. I would say looking for the next 5-6 years of shuffling in, shuffling out.
Wow. But the goal is to put democratic systems in place in Syria.
Or at least people who care about their people.
Got you. Not just replacing one dictator with another.
Or some radical party or personality who, you know, with a bandana on their head wants to destroy Israel or something weird like that. Wow. Yeah, come on.
Have there been nations that have followed a similar trajectory where there's been like freedom fighters that have gone in and they've either put people in power that care about their people or gone the opposite direction and things have
half the Middle East.
Yeah, I was about to say, that sounds like a lot of stories you hear coming out of that region.
Yeah. So, I mean, of course in Europe too, I mean, Europe is not that far behind. I mean, look at some of the situations in World War II mm-hmm. and even during the falling of the USSR, mm-hmm. the Soviet bloc, same thing. Mm. Initially you have the old agents back in. You know, one bad guy is replaced by another not so bad guy. Mm-hmm. And then you have to get them out, shuffling in, shuffling out, shuffling in, shuffling out. And then you have somebody comes like a Gorbachev, you mm-hmm. know, who kind of hangs out. Well, Gorbachev was before the falling of the USSR. But mm-hmm. Similar people like that,
right.
you know, mm-hmm. they come in, they're reasonable, they care about their people. Or think about Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. And for a while, it seemed like, okay, we're moving somewhere. And then the bad guys came in again.
Right.
And then it kind of fell apart.
What do you think this...
Afghanistan really is not a Middle East, but similar mindset.
True. What do you think this means for Christians? Not only Christians living in the area, but just the church overall.
Oh, great question. It's always tough for Christians. Mm-hmm. I mean, Syria had such a massive, massive Christian population mm-hmm. at one time. I mean, Antioch in Syria, right?
Yeah.
This is where Christians were first called Christians.
I think I could be wrong, but didn't this announcement that the regime fell, didn't it take place in Damascus or like at least outside of Damascus?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Paul was on the road to Damascus mm-hmm. when he met Christ, and then he went into Damascus, and that's where he learned who Christ was in the Old Testament, all that. I mean, and to know that this is the country we're talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the country we're talking place. About.
Still yeah. there. Still there to this
still
day.
Still there.
Wow.
I mean, there's so much history there. Can you imagine what tourism would do for them?
Mm. Yeah, I know.
Can you imagine what would happen to Syria if they actually said, you know what, we're going to all straighten up and we're going to work towards building archaeology, tourism, all of that. My goodness, they're sitting on a treasure trove.
Yeah,
of,
it'd be a game changer.
Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah, all that biblical history there.
And or just world history.
Mm, yeah,
true.
I mean, Abraham came through there, right?
Yeah.
The great point.
I mean, Eliezer of Damascus.
Yeah.
I mean, what Abraham was a king outside of Damascus.
Do you think mm-hmm. they can pinpoint that road, like the road that Paul was traveling on to Damascus? Yeah. Like pinpoint the
spot
where
he was going? You can go there. You can go and you know, and visit Christian sites. You can mm-hmm. do that. I mean, not right now, but at one time, yeah.
Wow.
And people do that. I had thought about doing it. It just is risky.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, maybe wait.
Yeah.
Hopefully with everything settling down, maybe there will be some opportunity for us to make a trip one mm-hmm. day.
Yeah. I remember the whole Syrian refugee thing. That was from this civil war, this whole conflict, right?
2012, I believe mm-hmm. it was. Mm-hmm. And it just went really bad.
It was mm-hmm. a huge talking point, yeah. right? Yeah, the whole yeah. Syrian refugees
what
coming
do you do
over.
With the refugees?
Yeah. I remember that being a big thing.
Many went to Europe, some came to America, and it became a humanitarian crisis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's many times, you know, you would think women and children would be the first in line to be sent to a better place. Mm-hmm. But you see young men when we were in Greece, okay? So this was back in 2017. Mm-hmm. Nicole and I went to Greece and we were in Athens. And you know, Athens has this center square where, you know, a lot of big statues and things like that are there. And you have to walk through there if you're walking, mm-hmm. at least where we were staying in the hotel. You have to walk through the center of the city and then go up towards the Acropolis. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Areopagus. Yes.
Mars Hill?
No. Areopagus, you can see Marcel, you can see this is the Agora, mm-hmm. the marketplace, the old marketplace.
Right.
So you had to go to the center of modern day Athens to get to the Agora. Mm. And it was just crowded with people. And then later I learned these were all the Syrian refugees. And guess what? They were all men.
Really?
Wow.
All men, young men.
They fled to Greece.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, they pretty much took over Athens.
Wow.
And so Greece had a tough time with that because crimes were being committed, rapes and this and that was happening. And these were not like poor, battered women and little children with nothing to eat. These
were men.
Men.
Wow. Yeah. Grown men or like young?
Grown men.
Like
grown
wow. men. Yeah. 30s, 40s, that age?
Yeah, and even teenagers.
Wow.
So it was kind of like, what is happening here?
Yeah.
How do we help people? Because if we're helping them, why are they committing crime?
Right. That's what you always think. You think of the, like you said, you think of the refugees as what you describe, like battered women, little right. children in rags with dirty hands and gloves and stuff.
Yeah. But here you see, you know, I mean, we were told, but the police saw us. This was like at 7 o'clock in the evening, mm-hmm. right? You could see the Parthenon up there, the Acropolis mm-hmm. up there. I mean, it's way high. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not like a couple of stories, like way up high. Mm-hmm. And you were there with us because we were there down there. We walked through the marketplace there.
I remember.
Exactly there. Okay. Where we stopped and ate and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, so the police saw us walking around and they walked up and said, it's no safe. No safe.
Wow.
I was like, oh, wow. If the police are telling us it's not safe.
That's significant. Yeah.
I told Nicholas, I think we need to go back to the hotel.
Yeah, that's true.
And we had to walk right through the center of the city and back into our hotel.
Time to make our way there quickly.
Yeah, that was crazy.
But I think even with this like Syrian, with this fall of Damascus, that has a really epic legendary ring to it. Because that's usually where the story ends, right? Like like you see that, like the Star Wars rebels, they've conquered the empire, it's gone, and so now they raise the flag in victory and then cut to black. That's the end of it. You don't really think about the fact that now we have to put a government in place, and what we do in these next few weeks is going to shape this conflict.
Yes. That's right. And the common people, the everyday people, they just want a good life. They want their children to go to good schools. They want them to have a good meal, a good roof over their head, have a future.
I think this could lend itself to a really great conversation. I know we don't have time to do it today, but like, how do you, even in the, I don't want to use the word power because it has a bad connotation, but just in the case of this here, you know, I would assume that the tools you use to obtain power is not the same tools you use to keep it. Mm-hmm. And so maybe even that has like, maybe if we just say influence, you know, how do you establish influence versus, all right, now that I have this influence, how do I keep it or this impact or whatever?
I would say it's in Israel's great interest, but also it's in the interest of all the neighboring Arab countries to do something good with Syria, to help Syria, to not take advantage of this nation now. Mm-hmm. They've been through enough already. Mm. Help them. Help them get on their feet. Help them have a good ideology. Create more of a secular society where everybody's welcome and not have to go through some radical crazy coming in.
Right.
Yeah.
And trying to destroy lives again.
100%. 100%. What is your encouragement for Christians listening to this episode?
Christians all over, I'm going to say, please pray. Pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ.
That's right.
Not just in Syria, but all over the world who go through some very difficult times. And they're very peace-loving people, very productive, they contribute so much to society, to help people, their neighbors. They're always great workers, hard workers, efficient, top-ranking people in the armed forces of those countries or in the government and all that, you know. But sometimes we get beat up on.
Yeah.
So please pray for other your Christian brothers and sisters and just never take for granted the freedoms we have in America.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Such a good reminder for us. Make sure you guys join us tomorrow, same time, same station. We're going to be diving into another great topic here on the Clearview Today Show. Thanks again to Le Blue Ultra Pure Water for sponsoring today's episode. And don't forget, you can support us by subscribing to the show on iTunes if you want to re-listen or share any of those episodes with your family and friends. You can always support us financially at clearviewtodayshow.com. John, anything you want to plug as we end today?
Yes, of course. We've been talking about we're going to be going live on January the 3rd from 7 to 9 p.m. for our 24-hour prayer vigil. Make sure you join us at that time. You can join us when we're streaming online. You can call into the show, 252-582-5028. We will pray with you live on the air. Also, you can get grab Dr. Shah and Nicole's book, 30 Days of Praying for America, as well as our debut album. I was going to say our daily devotion, Heaven Here Now, but it's our debut album, Heaven Here and Now, available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere digital music is sold.
Make sure you guys jump into the conversation tomorrow. Lots of great stuff coming your way. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.